Radio. And now, Free Fire Radio. Radio. About to commence.
Good morning, North State. Welcome to Free Fire Radio on KCNR 1460. It's at 7:05, October the 19th.
Wow.
Wow. Okay, say it again. Wow.
Did you just like the way it sounded? Wow.
Wow. Phone lines here are 605-4567. And you can write to Linda at kcnr1460.com, and we stream at kcnr1460.com. I assume we're not, the chat room isn't up.
Negative, sir.
Well, I probably figured that when I talked to our webmaster, and I said, well, what did you do over the weekend? And his answer was, nothing.
World of Warcraft, maybe? I don't know.
And I said, you knew it was down? He goes, yes. And you didn't do anything? No.
Oh, my
so,
gosh.
I yeah. Don't anyway, I don't even want to go there.
Don't get me going,
Don't get us going on that one. Hey. So, but we are joined by Bad Bob, who
the floggings will continue until morale improves.
Flogging. One of your favorite words you used in the chat room the other day. I said, oh, flogging. It's very appropriate at times, I'm sure.
Speaking of, I'm sure. Linda's here.
I'm sure. Good morning.
How are you?
Yeah, I'm here. I really am.
You all dressed up.
Well,
look at your
today,
hair's up.
Thank you. Today is a very special day. We have the Seroptimus Luncheon with Heidi Marble speaking at the Convention Center, and she is scheduled to be on the show today. Feeling very honored. Of course, October is Breast Cancer Awareness Month, and to also let you know that the bridge, the Sundial Bridge, is going to glow pink for 3 nights this week to highlight breast cancer awareness. The event starts at 7 p.m. Thursday with live music, refreshments, a health booth, and a couple of speakers to mark the 14th annual Think Pink Day. The bridge lighting is slated for 8 p.m. NorCal Think Pink and Company, the nonprofit organization, the awareness campaign, will light the bridge pink starting at dusk Friday and Saturday evenings, too.
I have a question, not to dampen the enthusiasm, but did they clean the spider webs out while they were down there putting the filters on the lights? Because, man, you get close and...
Speaking of dampening enthusiasm, Bob, is it because it's this month? Is that you got your shirt off when you're sitting there? I'm very aware of that.
Well, it's going to be a beautiful day today. Of course, we're up there kind of in the high digits again, 87, which is particularly warm for this type of year, time of year, I think. 54 degrees. I know. Bob, you're shaking your head like, really not?
Yeah, it's quite typical for this time of year until we get into, well, early part of November.
Okay, Bob, put your shirt back on.
Don't think of October ever being warm. Maybe early 80s, but anyways, we're in the 87s today. I'm looking forward to having those particular people, you know who you are, join me for this luncheon today. And yesterday I received a very unique phone call from a gentleman who is a loyal listener. We love interacting with him in his website and in our chat room, and we've met him at various occasions. And so he's going to be joining me today because someone near and dear to him has been affected, and the family thus therefore has been affected by breast cancer. So he wants to go and be part of it and support his sister in that way, and also listen to the speaker. So it's going. That's very moving to me. What brings people together.
Well, they're going to be on at 7:30, 8 o'clock. Steve Allen, who is the representative or the mouthpiece for the unions here, will be. That's not right. That's not the right way to put that. The negotiator, I should say, negotiator for the unions, will be here to talk about what are the issues. What can we do to fix the issues? Why has it become so contentious that we've got so much anger going through here, and what can we do from the union side to kind of negate that anger so we can all work together and try and get these problems fixed?
And just before we began, we also had a friendly face that is always interacting with us. Our chat room is down. So today, bringing in donuts and with a message, saying, boy, they're nice donuts, too. Wow.
Okay, this is not a paid.
It?
This is not a paid political announcement. But anybody that brings us donuts for everybody in the office,
and just writes on the outside of the.
Just a friendly reminder: November 2nd is about the citizens of Reading, and then three names: Cad, Jones, and Bassetti. But they brought us donuts, so if you bring us donuts with Sullivan's beer and Murray will say the same thing.
It was not from one of the candidates.
And it wasn't from one of the candidates. Or you can bring it in and say Mickey Mouse, Donald Duck, and
it
Goofy.
It was a fan.
There you go. So thanks a lot. Thanks a lot, there.
Proactive person in
our
community.
Citizen. Yeah. Hey, we're going to take a break here. Carl and the Bot, Free Fire Radio. KCNR 1460, the home of Free Fire Media. I don't
wow,
think I like that one.
Well, you know,
give it time.
And I'm not going to give it time. Cut it. This is Carl Lindebach, Free Fire Radio, KCNR 14. You're not listening, Bob. KCNR 1460.
Okay.
Phone lines here are 605-4567. And we're streaming at KCNR 1460. And Linda, you can get on there and get emails.
Yeah, but do you know what that, wait, before we go into Stop It, what that music was that how some people wake up feeling. What am I doing? What am I doing? What am I doing?
Well,
and
see,
then,
that just makes it worse when they hear it, though.
Oh, no.
No, no. If they wake up and we're like, oh, yeah, it's really cool. You know, hey, everything's good, except the fact that they've canceled another set of flights out of Reading for Horizon Air.
And then all of a sudden you come to realization that, oh, life is good. This is all good. Could have come out of a nightmare into, like, a good reality.
Yeah. Like, Horizon slashes another L.A. flight. So, you know, we have, in Reading, make sure your cars are in good shape, all right, people? Because in a move to improve profits, and that's the whole thing, profits.
They are in business.
Oh, they're in business, and there's nothing wrong with that, but there's, and this is a move to improve profits. Horizon Air is cutting daily flights to and from Los Angeles International Airport, leaving one daily flight each way. So just make sure that you know which flight you're on. Starting December 1st, they're going to terminate the mid-morning Los Angeles to Reading flight that makes stops in Arcata, Eureka, and the midday nonstop service from Reading to Los Angeles.
Okay, I have to just share with you, even though I do like flying out of Reading, there has been two instances for me that my flight has been canceled. One of which was when I was to fly down to Los Angeles to do a job, and you had to end up driving me. At the last minute, we caught a flight out of Sacramento. So, and that was a flight that was in Eureka, and somehow the plane had problems. So, I don't know. I do enjoy flying out of Reading when things are on time. Now, if you have a Tylenol bottle, please check it out, because reports are saying that a moldy odor has given and stricken Johnson & Johnson's Tylenol, and the company is recalling another lot of the over-the-counter painkiller. Johnson & Johnson has recalled tens of millions of bottles of Tylenol and other consumer medicines in the past year because of complaints of musty or moldy odor in the product. So, I mean, seriously.
I just really wouldn't want to take, like, a...
Don't take a test.
Don't take Tylenol with fuzz on it.
Or don't even whiff it. Just bye-bye.
Okay. Every so often a story sweeps the country where everybody's like, wow, and then they become, And it happened. You know what? And I'm not going to blame this on President Obama, though it happened on his watch, as he likes to put it. Octomom. Yep, that lady who had the eight children, was implanted with 14 embryos. The doctor who did that, or can you call him a doctor? You know, doctor connotates somebody of care that wants the best for his patient, that goes that extra mile to make sure they're okay. At least they will until the health care system, this new health care, Obama health care plan kicks in. Somebody that cares about their patients. This guy implants 14 embryos into a woman who's already had like six kids. And they said he should have referred her to a mental health specialist when she came to him saying she wanted more babies to add to her brood of six, according to the official complaint by the California Medical Board. An unemployed single mother gave birth to octuplets in January 2009. So wait a minute, was this on... Was this on Obama's watch? Or did it occurred during Bush's watch? Okay. All right, Obama, you're off the hook on this one. Making international headlines when it became clear that she already had the six young children. He also implanted another patient, age 48, with seven embryos. 48. Anyway, this could lead to the loss of Camabrava's medical license, and they'll make a recommendation. And his attorney says his client strictly followed guidelines for fertilization and showed great concern for his patients. Well, you know, who's paying for these? Yeah. I mean, she's having problems paying for a mortgage and all that, but who would, in their right mind, implant a woman who's obviously, I mean, there's something missing here with 14 embryos, and she's already have six children, and she was living at home with her parents. I mean, there is something wrong here, my friends. There is something wrong here. And for this even, for him to say that he took into her best health into his account, is there something going on here? Is there something I've missed?
That whirring sound is Hippocrates spinning in his grave, of course.
Well, you know, I mean, I can't imagine. And, you know, I am still in shock and awe over this. That a doctor would do this. And then, again, I go back to, has she made enough money off of selling the photos of her pregnant, very pregnant self to the... Oh, no, she's done that to the Inquirer and these places. And she, you know, and they were wanted to do this. Do they have like a TV show called, you know, Mom and 14 now? I mean, I don't know. Probably, you know what? If it's not, it'll happen. Because oh, yeah, I mean, the reality right shows, yeah. they will scrape anything. You know, is it the today we're gonna check the underneath of snakes.
Oh, Can I check and see if the guest is here?
Hey, Billy Bob. Okay, now, Billy Bob. Let's look at that snake.
In all fairness,
take a bite of that, Bob. Snake eaters.
Are you done?
No, okay. I'm not done. But I will hold off.
Pause.
Now. I'll pause.
Pause. Okay. Just can we press the pause the button? Okay. In all fairness, when women are going into fertility treatment and trying to get pregnant and they have to go about it this way, they do implant more than one embryo because they have to sometimes they'll do six, they'll do five, they'll do four because some they don't all take.
14? And,
well, maybe she wanted to have five or six kids. I'm not sure. Was she really thinking that she wanted a brood? But
well, she wasn't thinking correctly.
I know.
She
I'm not sticking
she,
up
no,
for
no,
her.
No, I know that, but that's what I mean is he should have. I'm not blaming this on her.
I agree. But I think it's important that we acknowledge the fact that so many women who really are longing for a child and they go through this kind of treatment sometimes will come out with three babies or four babies because they have to implant several embryos to see if one will take and perhaps none of them will take. So, I mean, I'm just saying that's just the other side of it that we just need to acknowledge as well. This is...
But why would you even
apples
implant?
And oranges.
Well, no, there is... Okay, you're right. You know, it's because you are just a nice person and we have to take a break. So I won't get the last word in here except what kind of doctor in the right mind...
That would be a first.
Yeah. Call in the bot, KCNR 1460, home of Free Fire Media. It's 7:25 on October 19th. Weather today, 54 degrees right now. It's going to be like 87. The weather is being brought to you by Anselmo's. And you know what's happening this week? Linda's going to be out there with her favorite group. And now she just walked out of the studio because she's greeting our guests, so she can't stop. She can't stop me from now. Okay, let's talk about the judge. Here comes the judge. And this one is under Obama's watch because we talked about this. Federal judges tentatively... Oh, wait a minute. I know what I want to talk to you about. The veterans of foreign wars. Okay, there's been a huge brouhaha about this. The Veterans of Foreign Wars PAC committee came out with their endorsements. And the endorsements of the VFW, Veterans of Foreign Wars PAC committee, endorsed Barbara Boxer. It endorsed that guy from New York, Schulman, whatever his name is, and the senator from there. It also endorsed the opponent of a Iraqi veteran, a member of the VFW, and their whole thing was based on, their criteria is based on how they voted in the past for those bills or those items that the VFW, you know, was supporting. So how can somebody new be supported? So there's a tremendous outcry from the rank and file, over a million members of the VFW, to the leadership and said, oh, excuse me, but this is not correct. This is not wrong. How do you pick these people? So the leadership of the VFW then went to the VFW PAC committee, which is a separate entity, however, under the VFW, and they're made up of veterans, of course. And they said, this is a criteria, we're sticking to it. Well, day before yesterday, they dissolved the PAC committee. All endorsements have been pulled. So when Barbara Boxer says, I'm glad I have the endorsement of the veterans of foreign wars, not so fast, ma'am, you don't have that endorsement, as nobody does, because of the reasoning. The reasoning being, how can anybody then be endorsed because you're not in, you know, you're not in Congress? So that's a big thing that happened. That's been in the for the VFW. That's been a huge thing for the last week. So, okay, now the other one, the French. You know, just when you think the French are kind of going down that path, skipping, throwing flowers, you get somebody like Sikorsky. I like Sikorsky. He said, we can't keep going down this path of, we've got to change the pension system, okay? You have to change the pension system because the country is awash in red tape. And when he said that, there was a whole day of protest. They're talking about airport staff, train drivers, teachers, postal workers, armored truck drivers, refinery workers. It's a protest against a plan to raise the minimum retirement age to 62 from 60. That's right. They've got to go from 60 to 62. And he appealed to demonstrators to show restraint as they torched cars, litter bins, used cafe chairs to smash shops, windows. And the police, of course, used tear gas to break it up. Anyway, this is a majority of the French resent the plan to raise the minimum and a full retirement ages by 2 years to 62. And minimum retirement to 62 and full retirement by 67, respectively. And unions want to say, I want to live to my retirement, said a poster. But most analysts expect the legislation is going to pass because they've got to. There's no more money. And that's something we need to be thinking about in our state.
Could happen here.
There's no more money. We do need reform.
And coming up after the 7:30 hour and news, we have Heidi Marble, who is going to be the speaker. She just arrived. She's in the lobby, and we'll be talking to her in just a minute.
From the Fox Business Network, housing starts rising slightly in September compared to the previous month to an annual rate of 600.
Yeah, welcome back to Free Fire Radio on KCNR 1460. It's 7:34 and 42 seconds, October 19th. Phone lines here are 605-4567. We're streaming KCNR 1460 here as everywhere in the world, as was proven Sunday when Donnie Greenberg called us, said hello. Yeah. Hey, this portion of the show brought to you by BNT Satellite. Doug Tooley and his band of installers have been putting in dish satellites since 1985. Doug's a good guy to go to. He guarantees his work. 244-1988. That's BNT Satellite right off Airport Road.
Well, good morning, and we have a very special moment here on Free Fire Radio. Today we know that it's the 13th annual Breast Cancer Awareness Luncheon happening at the Convention Center, and in the studio with us this morning is Stacey Bertagna. Welcome, Stacey.
Good morning.
And a very special woman, an absolute beautiful woman who has come to Reading to speak with a new book that she's done, Heidi Marble. Welcome, Heidi.
Thank you. Good morning.
Yes, and we're very thrilled about you speaking at the luncheon. Can we tell our listeners here in the North State, what are we going to hear today? Just a snippet of what today is about.
Well, I think what you're going to hear is my story of surviving a very deadly type of cancer, but what I hope everyone hears is that it's a rise from adversity, and that when each of us face adversity, no matter what that might be, mine happened to be cancer, among other things. So it's an example of the human spirit. I hope to inspire everyone that no matter what happens to your life, whatever shattering thing, you have a way to put the pieces back together and become more whole than you ever were.
So experiencing what it is to hear survivors from the past and where they've come, we leave the room with hope of what it is to, you are facing your own mortality. At that, there's a certain point when everybody faces their own mortality when you hear the big C word. So Heidi, if you don't mind, could you give us just a little background of what were you doing in your life at the time that you were diagnosed?
Well, I actually remember the day and time very specifically. I was 34 years old. My son was 2.5. I was going to yet another doctor's appointment thinking it would be no big deal. I was having symptoms, pain, redness. And that day was the day that I found out I might only have 18 months to live. And so it was one of those shifts in time where everything just falls apart right in front of you. So it's just embedded in my core. I remember the smells, the sounds, everything about that day.
And when did you decide that you were going to write a book?
Well, it was never really intended to be a book, which is quite interesting. I've always loved writing. And then I had a friend of mine who said, well, if you're not going to make it, we should take pictures. And I thought, well, that's a really strange thing. But I decided, because my son was so young, I would want him to know how hard his mother fought for him. So we did artistic pictures of my journey. And when I got to the end, and there was a turning point, and I would survive, I looked at the pictures and I looked at the writing and I said, book. And that became my avenue for bringing awareness and funding to those who are underserved.
Well, the picture is worth a thousand words. I don't even, I can't say anything to even articulate how moving the picture is of you that is in the book. Okay, so how did you come with the title? And tell us a little bit about the book. And you're going to be, of course, talking and maybe signing today?
Absolutely. The title of the book is called Waiting for Wings, and I decided on that title for several reasons. One was when I was going through cancer treatment, I remember looking in the mirror once and thinking, I look like a worm. And then I thought, no, wait, I'm a caterpillar, and I'm waiting for my wings. Either angel wings or earthly wings. And so it became a metaphorical, transformational title for me, that no matter what happened, change was coming. And so I decided to honor what I had been through by posing on the front cover of my book without my breasts in a declaration of survival.
Phenomenal. Now, Stacy, you've been very involved with Seroptimus, and we've been involved in other organizations, but this one holds near and true to you. How did you find Heidi?
Well, our chair of our event, Teresa Nachman, is always researching to see someone that really will have a huge impact on the breast cancer awareness fight, and we believe that Heidi was an amazing person with her journey that she's gone through and how she has shared that with so many people to bring to the community just as an inspiration to so many out there who are going through this or who have a loved one who is going through it.
Well, we're going to have to take a break. When we come back, we're going to talk about today's proceeds, where they're going, kind of rough statistics about what's happening here in the North State. But this is Carl and Linda Bott, and I'm so happy to have Stacy Bertagna and Heidi Marble with us here on the show. We'll be right back after these messages.
Back to Free Fire Radio on KCNR 1460. Carl and Linda Bott, good morning. 7:43, October 19th.
That's right. It's a beautiful day. It's 54 currently, and it's going to be high today of 87. With us this morning in this next segment, again, we have Stacy Bertagna and Heidi Marble. Stacy is one of the gals that is a mover and shaker in town, very involved with the Soroptimus. We're going to go there in a minute, but we have Heidi Marble, who is here speaking today at the Convention Center. There are a few tickets left. Doors open at 11. Luncheon is served at 11:45. I would suggest you, if you're listening, to come to the Convention Center and hear a moving story with somebody in the flesh who has been faced with, am I going to live or am I going to die? And what am I going to do with this? And has survived, has written a book, is speaking internationally with her story, Heidi Marble. But before we go into a little bit more about that, I wanted to get back with Stacy and the Soroptimus and tell us, you know, you hear Soroptimus. What does Soroptimus mean? Tell us about the embodiment of the Soroptimus movement.
Well, Soroptimus is typically a group of women. Definitely men can join us, but we've never had a man step up to the plate. But group of women who focus on supporting women and children in the community. So here, right here in Shasta County, our Soroptimus Club, we started Secret Witness. We started the Senior Citizens Hall. We're the ones that raise funds for that. And we've done a lot of other projects here in the community, but one of them close to our heart is our mammogram fund. And so it's very important for us each year to work on raising these funds to provide mammograms for both women and men who cannot afford them. Our fund was depleted this year because we've had so many requests coming in, and we continue to rehab those requests. So we've funded over 60 mammograms. And we're looking this year to be able to bring back that fund so we can continue to offer this support.
So many of the proceeds today from the luncheon will go into that account that is for those who cannot afford mammograms, correct?
Yes, this luncheon is specifically for this account. We have other fundraisers for other projects that we work on, but this specifically, all funds go directly towards our mammogram fund.
Heidi, how were you diagnosed? Was it through a mammogram?
That helped to confirm it, but I was very young, and the diagnostics to indicate that I had cancer were layered. First was a visual, then they did an ultrasound of the breast, and then the mammography, and then I had an MRI as well.
Okay.
Today, when people are talking, or if people want to donate to the Soroptimus or to earn this fund to help, since a lot of times, what we're finding in this year especially is so many good organizations, I should say great organizations, are out there helping people. Because there's been such a such a recession going on right now, and government funding has dropped away, and people just don't have the money that they had before, but people still can help. You know, small donations and anything, right?
So. Certainly, if anybody wishes to contribute to the fund, or if they wish to become a member of Soroptimus and just be able to volunteer with us and be involved, you can call 355-5606, and we will definitely speak to you further about those opportunities. We've had so many people step up this year with the number of sponsors that we've had. We have been exceeding previous years. So Reading is such a giving community. It is amazing how many people who truly have been impacted specifically with breast cancer who want to be a part of this one specifically in regards to funding this opportunity.
Well, it's going to be a beautiful afternoon, and we are all going to be inspired. We look forward and welcome Heidi Marble to the great North State here in Reading. We do have a wonderful community. We love it here. We're so happy and proud to have you be part of our, you know, speaker series, and thank you so much. And thank you, Stacy, for bringing in Heidi, and I'm glad you got your luggage.
Thank you so much. So much.
Oh, that's it, Heidi. You know, somebody needs to explain that to me, too, is how you're going on a plane from point A, which, I don't know, L.A., I guess.
It was Portland.
Portland, and that's where you live, Portland?
Yes.
Okay. So you're going from Portland to Reading.
To Sacramento.
Oh, to Sacramento.
And it ended up in Phoenix.
Well, there is.
I don't know.
There's a P.
There's a P in there.
There's Portland, so
true.
I can, you know, they get down there. But my favorite is when I put my daughter on a plane. She's getting ready to fly from Albuquerque to Phoenix. I mean, you could drive there.
Right.
The plane takes off. It goes out for like the halfway point, and then they come back. For whatever reason, they were having problems in Phoenix. They land. She gets off. Okay. Her luggage isn't there. So somebody needs to explain to me how she gets on the plane that comes back and her luggage didn't come off. And, you know, to this day, that's my favorite story.
Yeah, maybe it's kind of like the Bermuda Triangle. Yeah. It's just this big mystery.
Anyway.
Well, we will see you later today.
Thank you so much.
You're going to enjoy now that your luggage has arrived.
Yes.
Thank you very much.
Thank you so much for
being here.
Stacey,
thank you.
This is Carl and the Bot, Free Fire Radio, KCNR 1460. Join us after these messages. KCNR 1460, Carl and Linda Bot. Phone lines there, 605-4567. We're streaming at KCNR 1460. And stop sending us nasty letters and emails. It's not our fault the chat room's down. It's Heather's fault. She got into it. Okay, it could be also our webmaster hasn't done anything about it. But I have admonished him about that. So, hey, this portion of the show brought to you by Tobacco and Brew, 2143 Hilltop Drive. Finest little place to get coffee there and Espresso Joe's. And since it's getting colder, and by the way, this is the last warm day we're going to have, my friends, 87. So the rest of them are going to start going down. So it's like in the 60s this weekend. This is what we're going to be facing here for the next few months. So Espresso Joe's is the place to go get that warm coffee, get that crumpet, get all those things that go along with it. And then you can walk in and to that great humidor that they have next door and pick out a great cigar. Joe and Shelley, Tobacco and Brew, 2143.
Friday we're going to be there.
We're going to be there Friday. We're going to be talking Proposition 19. That's right, Proposition 19. Are you for it or are you against it? There's your chance.
I have a question, sir. Now, you know that I'm very much into the technology, but I find it interesting that we suddenly find ourselves absolutely unable to live without something that didn't exist a few years ago.
What's that?
Things like chat rooms, cut off the cell phone system, and the country would drop into chaos. But it didn't exist just a few years ago. And
oh
I find that
God.
Amazing.
Well,
oh, my God.
Here's
you know
deal.
What? You're probably against electricity, too, huh, Bob? Didn't have electricity one time.
We should be able to do without it for at least a few days, survive at least 3 days without it.
There's a lot of people who don't want to have the detection of their voice or their names,
yeah.
And
that's
they feel a certain
it.
Way, and so they can use a fictitious name. But coming up in the next hour, there's going to be people who are going to be in agreement. There's going to be people who are completely opposed. There's going to be people who are going to be fired up, and love to have you engage. You're going to have to engage through an email, which is Linda at KCNR 1460, or give us a call.
605-4567, Steve Allen from we'll be telling the union side of what's going on here.
No relation to the TV comedian.
No, nope, it won't be funny here today. Well, it could be funny. Okay, you know, just before I get into this one last little problem I'm having with the federal government, the Sons of Italy are having a holiday bazaar Friday and Saturday from 10 a.m. to 7 p.m. on Saturday and 10 a.m. I'm sorry, Friday, October 22nd, 23rd. 10 a.m. to 7 p.m. on Friday and 10 a.m. to 4 p.m. on Saturday. Join us for a holiday bazaar with 28 crafters and vendors. It's going to be at the Sons of Italy Shasta Lodge, which is the corner of Kenyon and Cedars in Reading. For more information, call 275-8115, 275-8115. Sons of Italy have a bunch of stuff out there. All the gifts and crafts are made in the USA. There's going to be food and soft drinks available. That's Friday, October 22nd, 10 a.m. to 7 p.m., and Saturday, October 23rd, 10 a.m. to 4 p.m. Now.
I just got a quick from Virginia at Haven Humane, and it's just something we all know, but I just want to throw that out there about your pet at Halloween. In order to keep your children and pets safe, here's a few things that you need to just really focus on. Keep pets indoors, away from the front door. Roaming dogs are a threat to trick-or-treaters. That you could be bitten and be mistaken for a burglar. Avoid taking dogs along with children on Halloween night. I think that's a biggie. Cats especially become frightened and lost. It's advised to keep them safe inside and away from the open door. And don't pet animals quickly. And chocolate in large quantities is toxic to dogs. So keep away treats from your pets.
Okay, so that effectively cut me out of what I was going to say. Let's talk about something that was fun. Secretariat. I'm just kidding.
Oh.
Well, you took a pause. You take a pause. I'm going to fill it up, buddy.
I know I had to breathe.
Well, that's right. You had to breathe.
Okay. No, you're absolutely right. We need to repeat that, though, as we get closer to Halloween. It's a couple weeks off.
When you take a breather, I'm going to fill it in.
Okay. Well, here, Secretariat. The movie. You know, I talked about it yesterday. You know, and then somebody tells me there's other people that had lumps in their throat while watching this movie. Well, so one of the things about this movie, again, I think that really, if you have not seen Secretariat, you need to go out and do that. It is, we were there, I think, Sunday. The theater had a lot of people there, you know, for a Sunday. And it was a matinee, and it's been out a couple of weeks. But I think that people are starting to talk about it, because here's a story about a woman, a housewife. Yes, she'd been raised on a horse farm, but she had turned her whole life into taking care of her four children and her husband out in Colorado. The farm, the Meadows, was in Virginia. She gets the phone call that her mother had passed away. So she goes back there, you know, to be there for the funeral. The family goes back. Her father's not in good shape. You know, the on stages of Alzheimer's, and so the family leaves, and she stays there to help for a couple of weeks to help get the farm under control and see what they're going to do with it, because she has a brother, and you know, this was it's going to be a huge undertaking, and she lived in Colorado with her children. I mean, in very close relationship with her children and her husband, of course. Well, as she goes through it, she finds out that and at least in the movie, and how much of the movie is true and how much of it is kind of conjecture or just, you know, drama, is she has to fire the trainer. Well, she fires the trainer, and then it goes into the part where this bold ruler has bred two of their mares, and she has to pick one of them in a coin toss. Anyway, so as it turns out, but the movie's about putting it all on the line. You put it all on the line. And something else, the inheritance tax on what they had was going to be $6 million. So, of course, they don't have $6 million. Nobody had, well, most people don't have $6 million. They're going to have to sell everything they owned, all the horses, everything, the farm, everything, to pay an inheritance tax the government puts on them, that the family had worked their whole lives for this farm and this business. They're going to have to sell it, everything, to pay the government $6 million. Well, they went, you know, she, through her efforts and working with other people and the efforts that they worked on with this horse.
Her foresight and her fortitude.
Yeah, and her fortitude. I mean, she had to stand up to her brother. She had to stand up in the movie to her husband, her family. And it ends up with Secretariat, Big Red, Triple Crown winner, won his last race to Preakness there by 30 lengths going away. Something that was everybody thought was impossible. So, but the thing is that if you have not seen the movie, everybody knows how it ends. It's how the movie is portrayed that is just outstanding. And you know, and they gave the, you know, they called that horse Big Red. So when we got home, we took a look at Snooky. So now Snooky's little whitey. So, calling the bot, Free Fire Radio. Our guest in the next hour, Steve Allen. Stand by.
This is KCNR, Shasta Redding.
Yeah, welcome back to Free Fire Radio on KCNR 1460. It is 8:05 on October 19th. Our phone lines here are 605-4567. We're streaming at KCNR 1460. Or feel free to give Linda an email. Send Linda an email at linda@kcnr1460.com. As I will say again, the chat room is down, and we don't know when it'll be back up. We are in the process, however, of changing over our streaming and how we do this so that we can get in the chat room and it's guarded, so somebody named Heather can't get into it and say it's mine. It's some kind of domination thing.
Well, Heather could be also a guy wanting to be a girl. Hey, listen, you can though engage with us always by calling 605-4567. That's the hotline in the studio. We love taking your calls. And or you can email me linda@kcnr1460. In fact, I'm checking the emails now.
Okay, hey, our guest today, Steve Allen.
Hey, good morning.
Good morning. Steve, you know, Steve's been on before and, you know, another and stopped by and has written us a variety of emails when things are on. And Steve is the negotiator for the Reading Police and Fire Associations.
Yeah, two separate groups, but yeah, I bargained for both of them.
Okay, now, let's start bringing people up to speed here. How many? Okay, you negotiate just for the police and fire, but not the police managers.
That's right, here in Reading.
Here in Reading, and then you've got other people negotiating for IBEW. That's I think it's Ray Thomas, right?
Yeah, IBEW for that group.
And then there's SIEW, which is everybody else that works for the city.
Yeah, SEIU. And I remember a day when the rest of the city employees weren't organized, and at a point in time they joined SEIU. Yeah.
Okay, now, this is not the only ones you represent, though.
Oh, no. I negotiate for a variety of groups here in just the local area, Shasta Deputy Sheriff's Association. And then I also work for Laborers International, which represents a lot of the county workers.
Uh-huh.
And then as you start getting out of town, Siskiyou Deputy Sheriff's, Wairika PD, Susanville, the road workers up there, the mid-managers, Chico, Paradise, Red Bluff, Tehama County, and all the way down into San Francisco and down past Milpitas, Monterey, Carmel, Sacramento. I have my finger one way or the other as a negotiator in probably about 80 groups.
Okay, have you gotten into the marijuana growers? I've seen all that. They're starting to unionize?
Yeah, not yet. Not yet.
Now, Steve, before we get into a lot of the different aspects of what's going on, I want to talk a little bit about you, because you're a little bit different. You're not your typical negotiator in the way that you've been brought up in this type of occupation.
Well, people get into this business a couple of different ways, and the typical approach is as a worker at a plant or a city or a county or with an employer, and work their way up as a steward, as a volunteer, get on a bargaining team, and at some point they're recognized by the staff people as having some talent and skills, and might be offered a job working for the union. I didn't go up that way. I was in college down in Sacramento. I have a business degree, and was selected to start working as a labor negotiator when I was about 20.
Okay, and that's where you've come up then.
Yeah. So all I've ever done.
Okay. Hey, I tell you what, before we get into this, we're going to take a break, and when we come back, we'll start talking about what's going on in the from the union side in the negotiations and the huge impacts this is going to have on our community.
Yeah, I came on to kind of be a resource and see if I can clear up some of the information that's floating around town.
Okay. All right. Carl and Linda Bott, Free Fire Radio, KCNR 1460, the home of Free Fire Media. KCNR 1460, the home of Free Fire Media. Carl and Linda Bott, our phone lines here are 605-4567. It's 812. October 19th, our guest is Steve Allen, who is the negotiator for the Reading Police Department and the Fire Department, not the manager's part of the police, and does not represent the other unions here in town. Okay, and Steve wanted to come on and talk about maybe there's some misconceptions about things that are being said.
Yeah, the thing that had me contact you last week is I was driving out of town late like usual. I think I was running down to Chico or Butte County for bargaining. And I caught just the tail end of one of your guests, and it was Missy MacArthur. And somebody had called in about how the employees had given up salary to get their PERS member contribution picked up. And you guys were yakking about that. And she said something about, and she used the word finite, that it was a deal, that the salary was traded in for the PERS for a finite period of time. In other words, just for a particular number of years, I guess. You'd have to ask her about that. But that, I almost crashed. I almost drove off the road when I heard that, because I've been involved since 1983 with the police association, and that trade was not for a specific period of time. That was open-ended. It's still open-ended. It's in perpetuity until the parties ever agree to do something different.
Which is what they're talking about doing now.
Yeah, which is one of the hot topics that's been entered into the local political council races here locally.
Yes, it is. The big part from, and as you just said, the hot political topic is the unions paying paying their part of CalPERS.
Yep.
And that seems to be the, that's the one everybody's focusing on with like 1,000 different issues, but that's the one a lot of people are focusing on.
Well, it's that, and it's the retiree medical.
Right.
And it's the PERS plans themselves. But, picking up the PERS is a topic all around the state. And in the negotiations I'm involved in where contracts are open, it's something that we're negotiating, we're doing. It's been accomplished elsewhere. And it's been accomplished in a reasoned manner in back and forth negotiations. One of the problems I think the employees are having here locally is that there's the council candidates that have decided to make this a political football are simply asking that the employees kick that down without respect for any other parts of the labor contract. And when you're talking about the 9%, for example, that a police officer has paid for him or her by the city, as has also been talked about, it's been negotiated that that counts for retirement itself. So the 9 is 9 that pays for groceries and mortgage and rent, but it also counts for retirement. So I remember when I negotiated that deal, with the cooperation of the city council at the time, and it cost us 3% salary. So the 9 was traded for salary way back before I started working in 83. So that has a value of 9 salary on it to an employee. And then we also gave up 3% more, and I specifically know about that because I was involved in it. So really we have 12% salary riding on the 9. And no one's saying that that can't be negotiated, but that is such an important piece of compensation that it can't just be given back without respect for other issues. And where that's been negotiated elsewhere, it's been part of a give and a take.
Well, what other issues are the unions looking for the police and fire that, okay, fine, we'll pay this 9%, but we want something else?
Well,
or is that something you can talk about?
It hasn't come to that point yet.
Mm-hmm.
There were some preliminary talks last year when the city first came to us and said, hey, we want you guys to pick that up, resume payment of that. We said, well, what about this? What about that? No, just that. So there was no opportunity for full negotiations on every other issue. It was just a matter of will the employees throw that down and pick that up. And I just explained why. It has other effects on retirement.
Right.
But, other issues that I don't mind talking about, for example, the retiree medical. And once again, the 50% of the premium that the city pays for retired employees started way back when. I don't even think it was negotiated. I think it was a city policy that was put in place probably in the 70s. I think it was there. In fact, I know it was there in the 80s when I started representing city employees. And now the city wants to change that because of this GASB 45 liability. And some of the information that I've heard floating around town that's not true is that there's some liability that has to be paid for right now or money set aside right now for the promise to pay retirees medical, and that's simply not true either. Not a single penny has to be set aside for that item. It is a promise that's been made, and it can be renegotiated, but it's not a matter of setting that aside in the savings account to pay for it. That would be like if you or I wanted to get a home loan, and the bank said, before we give you the home loan, you have to put $400,000 into a savings account so we know you have the money now, even though we're going to give you a 30-year loan. That whole item is pay-as-you-go, and actually not a whole lot of city employees take advantage of it because with the insurance rates the way they are, a lot of employees, I've been told, can't afford it. So even though the city has a nice benefit of paying half that premium, not everybody can take advantage of it. It's pay-as-you-go. The law does not require it to be put aside at all.
So you're saying is the city's not on the hook for paying this?
What I'm saying is it's a phony issue.
But it's a political issue.
It's been politicized.
So when all it seems like it's not just the city saying this; it's all the candidates saying this. We're on the hook for what was it, $90 million? That's all the candidates saying that.
That's exactly what I'm saying is not required. The city does not have to come up with $90 million and put it in an account somewhere to pay this debt. It's a pay-as-you-go situation. There's a certain amount of cash flow that goes towards that. The city would be able to tell you what that is. I don't know what that is off the top of my head. But the city does not have to put a penny aside. What it does affect by having that debt on the books, because it shows up on the balance sheet, okay, and that's what GASB 45 required. It required that the agencies identify what that long-term promise to pay amounts to. And, they gave some actuarial numbers for how to calculate that number. The city had to hire an actuary to actually do it. And I think it's going to go up because what I'm hearing is that GASB 45 is going to change their underlying assumptions in the next couple of years. And if it's a problem now to anybody, it's probably going to be a bigger problem. I still say it's a phony problem to say it has to be funded. It does not have to be funded. That's not to say that it can't be renegotiated. Of course it can. And I've actually been leading the charge for the last 10 years or so to try and create a different way of funding retiree medical by starting a retired medical reimbursement trust. And I've talked to a whole series of city administrators. I've negotiated for this. I brought consultants up from the Bay Area.
What is this exactly?
What that is it instead of an unfunded liability that's on your balance sheet, it's a way of pre-funding retiree medical. So the parties agree on a certain amount of money, let's say $100 a month per employee, and set that aside into a trust account that then grows over the career of the employee.
Now, so who pays this? The city does?
Well, you negotiate who pays for it. And the city can, the employees can. It could be a combination.
It could be a combination.
Sure. Yeah. Let's say we have a 3% cost of living owed. We might say, well, let's take a point of that. Let's take 1% of that and put that into the trust. I mean, that's a way of negotiating funding. And that's the way I did it in Chico. We have this in Chico right now for the police officers, and it's been in place for almost 10 years. But over our career, that money will grow, and then the retiree will be able to get expenses reimbursed. It's a really good way to do it. It's cutting edge. It's the way a lot of agencies are doing it because the money goes in, not taxed. It grows, not taxed.
What kind of funds are in?
And it comes out, not taxed. You have investment advisors that direct
Well, how did this work? How's this worked in the last few years? I mean, did their fund go up when everybody else got trashed?
No, what you do is you have conservative investment advice, and you invest in guaranteed funds, so you don't have to worry about that.
So there was they didn't lose any money then?
They haven't realized the gains they'd hoped for, but they're still solid. They're rock solid. And they figure it's about a 3-to-1 return. If you put in $100 in, you get maybe three to one or $400 out at the other end. So if you're able to negotiate and put aside money, and of course that would have to be negotiated, and the money has to be identified. There has to be a revenue stream in, but then the money's there when you retire. And that's a way to take that so-called unfunded liability off the books because it's a pre-funded method. And,
okay.
And it's successfully being done in lots of places. And I'm a little frustrated with it because I have been pursuing that for years.
Well, leave me your notes on this one, okay, so I can take a look at it because this is new for me.
Yeah, and it's not a secret. I talk
no,
about
no,
it anywhere.
I know. But this is something that we can probably address in a later time. But we've got to take a break here. Carl and Linda Bott. Our guest is Steve Allen, who is the negotiator for the police and fire unions here in Reading. Our phone lines here are 605-4567.
In the morning. Did I just say that? 8:25 in the morning. Currently 52 degrees. It's going to be high today of 87. Wow, we've got a full day. A lot of people coming in and out of that. Could you close that door, Steve? Great. Okay, weather's always brought to you by Anselmo Vineyards. By the way, two things to mark your calendar with Anselmo. Fun things to do. 474-5546. I'm going to be out there this Saturday night. First time of Saturday of music out there with my favorite trio, Johnny Gonzalez, Bruce Kalin, and Dan Kinkle. Love these guys. It's going to be a groovy night from 6 to 9. And on the 30th, they are going to be having a very high society, Marilyn Monroe, Betty Page, 50s film noir costume event. And it's a 5-course sit-down dinner. If you are involved with the wine club, tickets are $40. If you're not, it's $60. It's a really good night, really good event. So anyway. 474-5546.
And
stuff
Saturday,
sells out fast.
This Saturday is going to be great, so get your tickets. It's because Linda and her group sings, and she's, by the way, she won't say it, but she's working new material, new songs for this Saturday, but it fills up quick. They can only put like 50 or 60 people in there at the most in the music room. Our guest is Steve Allen, and Steve is the negotiator for the police and fire unions here in town.
Sorry.
And, generally, okay, there's not horns on his head. And he comes in and he brought Linda flowers.
Hey, my mother taught me when I go to somebody's house, bring them a gift.
That's so cool.
Well,
you
know
did
what?
Well.
You and the
appreciate it.
Well, that is. That's not a bad idea. Other people bring in donuts. And,
well, that was nice,
and
too.
That was
but
nice,
we
too. We love
the
it.
Fall, yeah. The fall foliage flowers.
Yeah. You didn't mention the pumpkin I brought.
Okay,
you
well,
brought
that's
the,
right.
I'm going to carve that up, too, and it's going to be you, Steve.
You know, when I was looking, getting my coffee at Holiday, and I looked around and said, Linda, flowers. Then I saw that big pumpkin. I just thought of you.
Well, you know what? That's great, because you know what? By tomorrow, it's going to have union written all over it.
Yeah, carve it up.
Yeah.
This is what we love about this.
I'm not even going to comment on that one. Hey, Steve, Yeah. I mean, it gets right down to, I mean, we've had every one of the candidates in here, as you know.
And nice for people to step forward and run for office. You got to like that.
You know what? You do.
That's what makes everything work.
You know what?
Yep.
And you know, and I admire every one of them. There isn't one that we've had on here that we don't think, you know, they believe they can do something for our city. I mean, from the incumbents all the way to people, it's their first time. A street preacher is in here. I believe in this.
Yep.
You know,
yep.
And I, you know, this, and so every one of them has been on here, and I like to think is that we've treated every one of them equally.
And it's a thankless job to be on the council,
well,
especially nowadays.
$600 a month to get beat up by half the people and tolerated by the other half. What's going on there?
Well, you do get to tap into the medical insurance and the retirements.
That's true. Well, yeah, but, you know, that's...
I don't know. I want to comment on that real quick because, you know, one of the political attacks that I've been hearing from Rick Bassetti, and I know Rick. I've been to social occasions with him. You know, he doesn't have horns on his head either.
No.
But he's certainly been attacking the employees' pay and benefits, and so I called up his pay as a council member the other day on the city website, and I noticed he was pulling down two fully paid city pensions. Now, granted, his pay's not very much because the city council's pay is set by law. Okay, you can only make so much unless you're a charter city. So it's capped, unlike the Board of Supervisors who can set their pay at whatever level they can get away with. But city council is capped, but Rick does have, he is pulling down PERS, fully paid by the city, and he's pulling down a second pension, I call it his secret pension, that's also paid by the city, and if you add those up, that's 34% of payroll. So this is the guy... Of his payroll, but it's still, it's 34% of payroll, and this is the guy criticizing other city workers for having these pensions, and he has two.
Well, is his equitable to say a police sergeant? I mean, not money wise, but as percentage wise.
He's in the same formula as all the city employees, except for public safety. The public safety have a different formula.
What's their formula?
Their formula. It's been talked about. Is 3 at 50.
Right, 3 at 50. So, if he's in there, okay, we got a minute. That's what that sign is. The minutes doesn't mean.
Well, I'm not saying he's counting on that pension for retirement as a city council member, but
right.
The truth is, he's pulling down two fully paid pensions at 34%, and yet he's talking about cutting pensions. So I would think if he seriously believes in that, he should lead the way and cut his own city pensions first and lead by example instead of putting on phony ballot measures.
So if he cuts his pensions,
that would be leading by example.
Okay, so then he could then go to the next one.
Then he could speak from a position of leadership rather than from a position of hypocrisy.
Oh, okay. I think we're going to take a break on that one. This is Carl Lindebaugh, Free Fire Radio, KCNR 1460, the home of Free Fire Media. Yeah, welcome back to Free Fire Radio. Carl Lindebaugh. This portion of the show brought to you by Tobacco and Brew, 2143. Hilltop Drive, Espresso Joe's, great coffee, great price. You can buy, you know, pounds of coffee there at super prices. Finest walk-in humidor here in the state. And then on Fridays, we go over there for our town hall meeting. It goes from 12 to 1. There's a lunch there available for you to buy. And this Friday, we're going to be talking Proposition 19, pro or con. Should we have marijuana legalized in this state, or should it continue to be just the way it is, surreptitiously entering the cities via medical marijuana and staying there? Our guest today, Steve Allen, who is the negotiator for the police union, police and fire unions, not the police management. I'm going to change the subject for a second, Steve. The people, as you've said, and we've agreed, you know, all the people here wanting to do the right thing for the city.
Okay.
It seems like, you know, a couple of the candidates that are being backed by the union, in this case the fire and the police, are saying they will negotiate with me. They want to negotiate with me. They won't negotiate with anybody else. Okay, they didn't say the last part, but they want to negotiate with me. They find it a real problem negotiating with somebody else. Is if those people are not elected, is there going to be, I mean, negotiations are still going to go on.
Yeah, of course they're going to go
on. I mean,
they're going on right now. There's two, people don't know this, but there's two city units negotiating right now as we're talking.
I know. See, and that's it, is that is not a good, I mean, you know, oh, the only negotiate with me type thing is not true. Because negotiators negotiate.
That's right.
So
now we may prefer to negotiate with counsel that we think is made up of more open-minded, more reasonable people. Where we have a easier chance of reaching a compromise. But that's politics. That's how it works.
The people when they see that a candidate's backed by the bucks from either the Chamber of Commerce or the unions, do they have a right to suspicion that that candidate is is going to be more agreeable, to their backers?
I don't know. I can tell you what, my involvement with the political arm of the labor relations is all we ever ask of candidates is to be open to discussion. We don't ever ask them for promises ahead of time that they'll take a certain position on something. I've never done that in the almost 30 years that I've been involved in this, and I've never seen it happen. But we do assess candidates about how open they are to listening. And it's really more a matter of backing those that you think have similar values and are open and will listen to your concerns. It doesn't prejudge what the outcome is going to be.
But you also would not back somebody you think is not going to agree with you.
Well, of course not.
So,
of course not, just like any other voter in town or any other group in town. And that's how it works.
The city seems to be going into you're either going to support the union candidates or the Chamber of Commerce non-union candidates. Do you see this as being is this starting to divide us out?
No, I just think it's just normal politics. It's just the issues are sharper, and they've been made more visible by some of the current council members. The unions getting together and interviewing candidates and deciding to back candidates is not something they typically do. There's been years, if not decades here, where you don't have that kind of activity. What's happening here is that it's a defensive posture because of the attacks by the majority of the council members on the council right now, Jones, Bassetti, MacArthur, and their position on votes, whether it be the measures A and B or not taking a gift that's offered to help balance the general fund, laying off firefighters, laying off community service officers, whatever the positions are, that attack on my clients, the people I represent, and your public safety folks that work for the citizens here, has compelled the associations to get involved in politics. It's not something they like to do. It's not something they want to spend their money or their personal time on. But because the stakes have been elevated to such a high level in terms of the attack, they have responded. So it's a reaction to what's going on.
Let's go back to that. What you're saying, you used the word gift. What gift did was offered?
Well, when you have a police contract in place and no requirement to open or do a darn thing, and the city comes to you and says, we have a general fund problem, will you help? Now, of course, the city wanted us to help by just giving up the 9%. And as I've said, that has to be part of a larger negotiations. Rather than just saying no, the association members got together, discussed it, had a vote, and offered up and was accepted for last year, about $333,000 that went straight to the general fund. Now, that was a gift because there are no strings attached to it, and it went right into the general fund.
That was last year?
Yeah, and it came right, it's going on right now. I mean, the concession from the police association is in place right now. It's a COLA that was negotiated for last March that is essentially being waived for this year by the employees, giving it back to the city. And there is no requirement to do that. And it's a little frustrating for me to hear all this criticism of my clients, the public safety units, when they have stepped forward and donated out of their family's income, that they buy groceries with, that they send their kids to school with. They've donated back to the community hundreds of thousands of dollars. And I mentioned the police association. I want to mention the fire, too. They did the same thing and offered back and was accepted last year. And by the way, with a two-year contract extension that was approved by the current council members, including Jones, Bassetti, and MacArthur, who are now making a big deal about no contract extensions, they gave back $670,000.
Well, they don't want to go back into a contract extension because they want to negotiate. But let's go back to this gift that was offered, because this is the second time this has come up.
Sure.
This time when this gift was offered, they wanted the contract extended another year, right?
That's right.
So it's not a gift. It's a quid pro quo.
Well, it would be a trade.
I give you the money, you extend the contract, so it's not a...
It would be a trade.
It's a trade. Okay.
And the reason, and the first offer from that association didn't have that attached. This one did, and you're right, it's a trade. And the reason for that is because the writing on the wall is that the current council majority wants to gut and go after the employees' pay and benefits packages.
Okay.
And so that's why the thought was, well, let's get an extension. That's why the fire association did that last year.
Okay, look, we've got... Okay, now everybody's... Whatever's been said in the last couple minutes, the fires have been lit. We got to take a break when we come back.
Hang on the phone there.
Hang on the phone. We'll take a couple minutes here and get back to you as soon as we can. Carl and the Bot, Free Fire Radio.
Good morning.
Yeah, welcome back to Free Fire Radio. PCNR 1460.
I love this feeling. Wait, let's go here. Wait. I want to hear. This is The Who, and they do this whole thing. Weather, sunny today. High of an 87. It is currently 53 degrees. This is KCNR.
Okay, thanks a lot.
Did you like that?
That was the longest bump music we've
ever
had.
He was just looking at me, rolling his eyes. I was like, just wait, it's a payoff.
This portion of the show is brought to you by Cypress Square Barbershop off Athens Avenue. D.C. Tim and a man in black. Great haircuts, great prices, veterans discounts, man's last stronghold. That's Cypress Square Barbershop. Go in there. They give great haircuts. They're great people.
And Oprah's never on the TV. Nor reruns or otherwise.
Nor is Dr. Phil.
How about Leave It to Beaver?
Barbara Billingsley died. Okay. Hey, our guest is Steve Allen. Let's go to the phones. Bill.
Hello.
Hello.
I just wanted to, I guess, build a little more on that comment where you said you talked about whether or not it was a gift or a trait. And I think the definition of those words matter a lot in this discussion. And every time the police get up, they're talking in terms of gift. So I thank you for addressing that one already. And then also, when they talk about the money that comes right out of their salary, well, when the taxes go up to cover all this stuff, that's going to be money right out of us too. So, one last one is who do you call for checking out the truth on their ads? Because those ads go off and say things that, I don't know, doesn't sound likely, and if you call the candidate doesn't know. If you call the police officer, he doesn't know. So who do you get hold of and how? So anyway, thank you.
You bet, Bill. Thank you.
Off the air.
All right. Hey, I think he's discussing the IBEW.
Yeah. You know, just real quick, though. You know, the police association members right now are paying out of their checks a gift to the city. No contract extension, but went into place last March. It's money that their families could use, and they're giving it back to the city. That is absolutely a gift. It started last March. It's not going to expire till this March. It's a gift back to the city, and that's absolutely what it is. You know, talking about, you know, politics and ads and truth and all that, well, because of those concerns is why I'm here, because when I heard Missy say that trade for the PERS was, you know, for a finite period of time, I knew that wasn't true. So do I come on? Yes. Do I say that's inaccurate, she's mistaken, or do I say it's a lie? I don't know what it is, but I know it's not true.
So it could be a mistake as opposed to a lie.
Could be, but on something of such high profile, you need to know what you're talking about before you make statements like that.
I like to think the word's mistakes. Okay, let's go to Charles.
Yeah, good morning.
Good morning, Charles.
Yeah, well, I was going to ask about GASB 45, but, the subject now is on, you know, the motivation for the union to endorse the candidates and the whole idea of a union slate. Frankly, it's a little, per se, you know, no matter who it is a little scary, given that, you know, if it becomes a permanent institution in itself, then, you know, at what point a future slate, you know, not this one, but a future one were to do wrong by this city, how will effective opposition, you know, in an election be mounted, given that, you know, union contribution to political campaign is out of mandatory dues, typically, and given, you know, the obvious economic disparities. I mean, it just, you know, it seems like it would become more of a permanent institution, sort of like the situation that exists now in a certain other country where you've got one party, you know, holding 70% of the Duma.
So, okay.
And, you know, no effective opposition there either.
Carl, I need to jump in and clear something up right now.
Thank you, Charles.
Yeah, you know, this whole idea of mandatory dues for the police officers and the firefighters, you know, that's absolutely not true. Their membership in their associations is purely voluntary. They are not required to join. They are not required to pay anything.
Are there any police that don't belong to it?
I don't know off the top of my head. I imagine they all belong. But the point is, it's voluntary, and the decision they spend their dues money on tons of stuff, including a lot of community projects. Okay, so it's not just a matter of politics. I've talked about why they're involved in politics this election cycle. It's because they're on the defense. Okay, and getting involved in that is no more different than any other interest group in town that wants to have a say-so in the political process. Any citizen can get involved. The Tea Party is involved. The Chamber of Commerce is involved. Shasta Voices, the Board of Realtors, and some of the associations are involved.
How much is the police union putting up for money?
For the political?
For the political.
Yeah, I don't know off the top of my head.
Well, I mean,
I know it's more than they ever.
At least $75,000.
No, I don't think it's that much.
I think it's pretty close.
Well, they have to do campaign disclosures, so anybody can go down to clerk's office and look that.
The ones I was looking at was like $25,000 to Spear. I've got to go back and look.
I think you're talking about the combined effort of all the different groups that are supporting these candidates. I don't think that's one association.
Okay. Okay, but it is the union, so.
Unions and associations.
Okay.
But in response to that call, I just want to make it real clear, that's voluntary membership.
Yes.
And that's banding together for a common interest. And that common interest is to negotiate contracts of pay and benefit. It's also to serve the community. And there's lots of donations that go back to the community that the association members gladly support.
So they voluntarily pay their association fees?
Absolutely.
And they voluntarily join the association?
Yes.
So what do you think would happen if I joined in the police? I said, I don't want to join your association. What do you think would happen? How long would it take before somebody said something to me?
If you're a police officer?
Yeah.
I don't know how long it would take. You'd be encouraged to join for the common good.
Right.
But you don't have to. That's the point. You don't have to. This is all voluntarily joining together for the common direction and interest. And believe me, if you've ever been to a union meeting, it's not like everybody's on the same page. These can be very contentious, divisive meetings, including who to support for city council.
No, and I understand that, because I've heard things from different officers. And by the way, you know, so we get across here to everybody is that, Steve and I have already agreed with each other is that we've got some really fine, you know, we've got absolutely outstanding people, both working for our community and running for offices here. And right now, we've just got a disagreement on how is the best way to hit the solution. We've got to take a break. Carl Lindebaugh, Free Fire Radio, KCNR, 1460.
Back down. No, I won't.
Welcome back to Free Fire Radio on KCNR 1460. It's 8:55. It's our last segment here. Carl and Linda Bott. This portion of the show brought to you by BNT Satellites, Dish TV. Doug Tooley and all those guys go out there, guarantee their work. Local guy, local money, 244-1988. Get a hold of them.
We have, before we say goodbye, I've got two tickets I'm holding for Kevin Sharp. That is for the Make-A-Wish. Summer Chappelle is opening for him. The two tickets are for this weekend out at Wind River. That is for the Kevin Sharp concert. We've got two free tickets. So give us a call here at 605-4567.
You know, our guest has been Steve Allen. Steve, it's always we always welcome Steve aboard. And we get a chance to talk about a lot of things. But here's this last question I have for you, and then we'll give you the last minute or so.
Sure.
It doesn't make it, you know, when it gets right down to it, the election's over.
Business will be conducted.
Business will be conducted.
Sure.
And we will come to a negotiated end, no matter who the candidates are.
Yeah, at some point, negotiations will resolve themselves.
That's right. Yeah. So when it gets down to it, and since everybody seems to have the city of Reading as their best interest, of what they say, then the city of Reading is going to continue to move forward.
Absolutely. You know, in all the turmoil with elections, this is healthy for the city to have these issues come out and be discussed, and to have all the players, including the people I work for, having their say-so. You know, and the voters can sort it out and cast their ballots accordingly.
And they have the right to, all sides to hear what's going on. So, if, you know, the thing about secret negotiations, quote, the secret negotiations, is that people have a chance now to find out, hey, this is what I want. This is the stand I want to take. You know, whatever it is.
Well, negotiations, you know, in the public sector for the city or the county, the deal has to come out public and be approved by a majority of the elected officials in public. So it's really not secret. At a point in time, you know, negotiations may be happening in closed door for a while, but at some point it comes out.
Yeah,
it has to be approved by the voting officials before anything could ever go into play.
Is every aspect of a contract negotiation made public?
Yes.
Okay, so even though that they may not be able to discuss it during the negotiations, when they vote on it, it has to become
public. It comes
public.
Out, and any citizen can see the proposed contract, read it, comment on it before a vote takes place.
Okay.
Hey, before we close off, real quick, I just want to say, I don't understand why the Chamber of Commerce is backing candidates that want to cut workers, city workers, pay and benefits. Because if you do that in this town, all that's going to hurt is chamber members, small business that depend on the retiree checks and the paychecks to support their businesses. And everybody, as we know, is struggling. So it doesn't make sense to me that the chamber is backing candidates that want to cut and reduce the income in this community. That's not a good thing.
Oh, is that what they're doing? Or are they trying to get the fact that Reading is in such deep trouble economically when we've had nothing but million-dollar cuts every quarter? You've got to get a hold of it somehow, Steve. How else are you going
to
do
it? Well, it's exactly what they're doing. Just listen to the ads, listen to the comments, and that is what the, Patrick Jones and Rick Bassetti are campaigning on is cut pay and benefits. They're unsustainable, they're too high, and it's just simply
not true. Well, every one of the other candidates that are running, including the slate that you all have, is saying the same thing. It's got to be renegotiated. They've got to go back to paying this.
You know, it's a matter of how you do that. Coming in and demanding that it happen right now in a closed contract is different than saying we'll be open to compromise.
Well, yeah, but it's going to happen. We all know it. It's got to happen.
Well, something will happen, but what the shape of that, what it looks like, the term, you know, what the trades are, that's all to be decided. And that's a different approach than the current council majority is taking, which is give it to us now or else.
Well, it's going to happen. We're losing so many $1 million a quarter. Something has to be done. What do you recommend then? What else can we cut? Do you do like Ken Murray said, I'm just going to do away with Parks and Recreation?
Oh, you're going to give me the city budget and let me take a whack at it?
Oh, you know what? Might be a good idea for two or three people that are uninterested that actually can go in and look at it and start whacking away.
Well, that's what's great about our system, though, is that any citizen can go get the budget and the comment and attend and have that input.
Absolutely right. Hey, our guest has been Steve Allen.
It's been good banter.
We like Steve. We like to have Steve on. We may not
lay it out there.
We may not agree with everything he says, but you know what? He says it well. And he represents his people.
That's right.
And this is Carl and the Bot. Just remember, it's the good guys against the bad guys. But what's your year?
You're listening to KCNR Shasta Reading.